I believe the Lord has put everything together for us today for the subject matter that we'll be looking at in the Scriptures. If you take your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4 is my prayer that our hearts and especially our minds would be pointed towards the Lord Jesus Christ this morning for this subject matter that we'll be looking at in the Scriptures. We're in Ephesians chapter number 4. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 17. If you found that and you're able to, would you stand together for the reading of the Word of God? Ephesians chapter number 4, beginning in verse number 17, and we'll read down through verse number 24. The Bible say, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Our text verse this morning is verse number 23, where the Apostle Paul is saying, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind." And I want to preach for a little while this morning on the subject matter on refocusing your mind. Refocusing your mind. We're going to have a word of prayer that you can be seated, and I'll share some thoughts from the Scripture. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for the singing this morning, how it has prepared our hearts. And Lord, it truly has focused our minds on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful for that. And Lord, I pray as we look into these Scriptures this morning, Lord, that you'd help us on the mental side of things to refocus our minds on the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, would you help us now in Jesus' name? Amen. You may be seated. I by no means am an expert when it comes to mental health, but I have read several surveys and articles, things that have been summarized over the past year and a half, and we won't take a survey this morning because several surveys have already been taking place on the detriment that the past year and a half has actually had on people and their mental capacity and their mental health. In fact, one of the last surveys that I read that were done, and they named several activities and several different areas of life that people were involved in. And may I say this, that every area that they surveyed, there was a negative impact on mental health over the past year and a half, except for one group of people. Every group of people that they surveyed, every group of people that they said, "How has your mental health been over the past year and a half?" And may I say this, whether it be drug addiction, and that's not the things that I'm talking about this morning, or alcohol addiction, those that are in recovery, every one of them that I've talked to, their mental health has declined over the past year and a half. Of this survey that was taken, it was this one group, and you say, "Well, what group was it?" It is the one group that they said that they have regularly attended church services over the past year and a half. They are the only ones, the only group in that entire survey that actually had a positive increase in their mental health over the past year and a half. Well, I would have to say that I agree with that, because that's the way that it's been in my heart and life. But while I agree that it has not been a detriment overall in the past year and a half, I believe every one of us would have to agree that the past year and a half has been absolutely taxing upon our emotions and upon our mental well-being, and both of them in turn affect our spiritual well-being. And we understand that. And you say, well, Pastor, I don't understand the direction that you're going. It is interesting that in the midst of all of this, that the Apostle Paul would write to the saints here at Ephesus and say, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, if I was a basketball coach, if I was a football coach, if I was one in leadership in those positions, and we were to that point, then I would gather my team around when they're getting distracted, when they're losing focus, when they're looking over here, when they ought to be looking over here, and I would simply look at them and say this, get your head in the game. And I didn't want to entitle the message that this morning on get your head in the game or get your head back in the game. Because Christianity is not a game. And attending church isn't a game. But I do understand the same principles. And listen, I've had it. There were times that any of you that have raised kids or taught kids or had them in Sunday school, had them in junior church, there's times that you want to walk up and say, hey, right here. You know what that's saying? Get focused back where you're supposed to be. There were times, and I've done this with my kids, you know, you're sitting there talking to them, and they're looking all over the place. How many ever just walked up in a nice, tender, and loving way and just grabbed your kid by the two cheeks right here and said, look at me in my eyeballs? Don't look over there, and you held them so they can't turn their head and they can't go a different direction. You know what you're saying? Hey, time to refocus. Can I say today that spiritually, emotionally, mentally, it's time for some to get their heads back in the game. Over the past year and a half, and I understand that there's been a lot of things that have taken place. And as I've been praying over the past few weeks, there's a lot of families, there's a lot of people that because of things that are beyond their control, they have substituted for other things in their life, except for what was priority 2 years ago at this point. That's why I believe some are not setting foot back in church. They've substituted their Sunday mornings, Sunday afternoons, with extracurricular activities that they would rather go do, that they've put in their schedule now instead of their priority of being back in church. And as I look down through the scriptures, I want to help us with this. I want to help us on this subject matter of refocusing the mind. Now listen, I'm a doctor, but not a mental doctor. And yes, you say, well, you're very qualified on the mental side of things. And I would probably agree with you on all of that. And all God's people would say amen right about there. May I say this, that loneliness, depression, discouragement is more prevalent today than it ever has been. Do you understand that we're at the same levels? We're at the same levels of those that have contemplated suicide as the United States was back during the Great Depression. I just heard some statistics on that in the past 3 days. At the same levels of those that have attempted it, and we're actually higher on those that will admit that they've actually contemplated it. Now listen, when we start talking about our mental well-being, I'm one that firmly believes, listen, we need to come back to the scriptures and see what the scriptures would be able to help us with in this matter of refocusing the mind, refocusing on it. First of all, we see here in our text of Ephesians chapter number 4 that we need to have a godly mindset towards holiness in our lives. I found out this, that, and this is not in every case, and so don't take these as just general statements this morning, but in many cases, I've found out this, that when mental well-being begins to deteriorate, there is actually an excelling and a magnifying of sin in a person's life. There's been more time that's been set at home. There's been more time that's been in isolation. There's been more time for the mind to be able to wander and to be able to go directions that God never intended for our mind to be going that direction. And in the context of our scripture, the Apostle Paul is saying in verse number 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. In other words, for we as the children of God, our mind ought to be focused and our mindset ought to be towards holiness and not the sin and the effects of this world. There have been those that I have spoken with that vices and strongholds and sin in their life has actually magnified over the past year and a half. Some of that may be in relationship to that people aren't assembling as much as they used to. I'll be honest with you, I miss it. Now, I was in church on Wednesday night. I was preaching down in North Georgia. Had a wonderful service down there. Thank you for praying for us. Had a wonderful time down there. But I was sitting by myself in a hotel room at 6:30 on Thursday night. And there just was something that wasn't right about that. And I was thankful to be able to pull out my iPad and to be able to sit there and be able to live stream. Listen, from the first hallelujah to the last amen, heard every word of the service that took place on Thursday night. But can I say this? That messed with me sitting there by myself. And I was saying, I wish I was there. Just something about being around God's people that we need to have. And we need to be so careful about losing our godly mindset towards holiness. We're reminded, and I preached out of it over the past couple weeks, when you get over into Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse number 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And we look down through the scriptures, and even as the Apostle Paul admonishes us here, that listen, to refocus our mind, and listen, this is just a matter of godliness or ungodliness, of righteousness or unrighteousness, that if we're allowing through this time and we're being burdened down mentally because of the sin that we have allowed into our lives, then we need to change that and have a godly mindset towards living holy and righteously before the Lord. May I say this, no matter what pandemic is taking place across our nation and around this world, it does not excuse and substitute holiness and righteousness in a person's life. It doesn't. A godly mindset towards holiness. But then I want us to take our Bibles and turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. I'm going to try to get very practical here for a few moments. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. We're talking about the mind and refocusing our mind and our thought life. And I'm not going to ask how many have a problem with their thought life. You can be sitting in church this morning and your mind be 100 miles away from here. You can be here and everything fine. Now listen, it is amazing the thoughts that'll come through. I'm talking while I'm preaching. And thoughts that come through, this person's saying this, and that person's there, this person's leaving. Man, they just get mad. Then I'm going back and thinking about what I just said. Instead of they just get mad. No, they come back in a little bit later. They just stepped out to the restroom. And I'm saying, you'd be surprised the conversations that I have with myself while I'm up here and I'm preaching to you right now. It's the truth. And I'm telling you, the mental things that we go through, if we're not careful, listen, we can get off focus. we can get off track. You know as well as I do, you can be sitting there in a church service and all of a sudden a thought comes into your mind and you're saying, where in the world did that come from? Man, I haven't thought about that in 15 years. That temptation comes, or this comes, or that comes. We're like, where in the world was that from? I want to get very practical, because this battle of the mind and refocusing our minds, I believe the Bible has some things to say about that. Overall, our objective is our thoughts towards godliness and not the wickedness of this world. Look what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse number 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That word carnal means fleshly and after the flesh, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. I looked over there at 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, and you say, Pastor, how can I work on my mental health and how can I improve that? Yes, we have to have a godly mindset towards holiness, but as I looked at 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, I believe we ought to have a war against thoughts that are contrary to Scripture. A war on thoughts. You say, you mean a war against my own mind? I'm talking about thoughts that come in there. I read a statement this week in preparation for the message that says, if you do not have your thoughts in captivity, then you have the wrong warden in charge of the prison. Do you understand the subject matter that is being dealt with here? It is being dealt with our thought life on a regular basis. Our mental capacity of saying we ought to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That means we ought to be on guard. That means we ought to be watchful. In fact, Peter said at another place in the Scriptures that he said, be sober, be vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You ever been sitting there? And listen, I'm saying, some of the most horrible thoughts that can come in your mind. Do you know what we better do? We better take control of that thought life. We better have an outright war on the thoughts that are against Scripture. That we sit down, hey, listen, I'll just ask a simple one. You say, give me an example of it. You ever just looked across the room and then all of a sudden you had a thought? Well, why didn't they smile at me? And then we sit there for the next 45 minutes wondering about every interaction we ever had with that person and saying, what did I ever do to make them upset? And then before you know it, you're beelining for them, if you're scriptural and everything. You're making a beeline for them after service saying, what have I done to offend you? And they're like, what in the world are you talking about? Well, I caught your eye and you didn't smile at me when I looked. I didn't even see you over there. I mean, if we really want to get honest about it, we'd have to say, hey, I wasn't even thinking about you at that time. I mean, that would probably offend them more. But it's like people come and listen, I'm saying every imagination, every thought, those things start coming in our lives. Listen, we better be bringing them under control. We sit at home. And we start listening to everything that there is under the sun. And I don't care which news media you go and watch. I'd say shut them all off. I'm not standing here picking one over the other one. I'm just saying, listen, they can so mess with your mind. And before you know it, man, you are thinking 100 different directions, saying what in the world? All of a sudden you go through a green light and you see a camera up there and you're saying, they're spying on me. And all you're doing is driving down the road. You know what's happened? Your mind's going 100 different directions. You know, the Bible says, and I've looked at several things when you get through the Scriptures here. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2, verse number 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. How many of us can just sit for a matter of 5 minutes and we can so think ourselves into anxiety and worry. I'm talking everything can be going great. Can I use myself for a personal example? So after we first started the church and we were down there at the Gripponi Center, I think it was within the first fall, or spring or something, and the family was gone for a week, and I was there, and we had service, and back in those days, we had to carry everything in, carry everything out. So we took all of our songbooks in. We took our piano, the keyboard in. We took everything in, packed it up afterwards, and took it all out. And we had a tremendous day. Tremendous day. And can I tell you how quick some things can change? Had a tremendous day. I walk out the door, put everything in the van. Crystal calls me. She knows we're done service. She's like, hey, how'd it go? I was giving an update. I said, Crystal, we had a tremendous day. But I have no reason why to be able to say, I am absolutely down in the dumps right now. She said, why? Did someone say something to you? I said, no. I said, it was wonderful. I said, it was a wonderful day. I said, everything went as planned. I said, good liberty in preaching. You know what it is? Hey, listen, in a matter of 5 minutes, one thought can come in your mind, and you can go from a mountaintop to a valley in a matter of minutes. You know what that is? Boy, we better be getting some things under control right up here in our minds. Hey, they didn't say nothing to me. Hey, pastor didn't shake my hand on the way out. Hey, you know how that is. I tried to get with one person. I'm not going to tell you who it is. I tried to get with one person for at least 3 weeks. And I'm thinking, man, if I don't get shaking their hand, I'm standing here. They're going out that door. If I stand there, they're going out that door. They're going to get mad and never come back to the church. You'd be surprised at what a pastor starts thinking after services on Sunday. Now everybody's going to stand in a nice, neat line on the way out of here, make sure that pastor can shake every hand. Hey, I'm just saying one thought that can be planted, one thought that we sit there and meditate upon, and we better be vigilant about those things and bring every thought into captivity. And lock it up and throw away the key and say, listen, you say, what's that practically look like? That is me having control over my thought life instead of my thought life having control over me. And we better have that in control. And here we've gotten to the point, listen, we've allowed our minds to wander. We can sit here and we can think about everything that we're going to go do after church today. And you know something? I believe we do a dishonor to God when we're more concerned about what we're going to go do after church today than we are right now concentrating on what God has for us. But we've conditioned ourselves to be thinking about so many things. Hey, we can't go an hour without picking up the phone and checking Facebook, especially during church. Hey, we don't have any control over our minds and our thoughts more than that. I'm saying there needs to be an all-out war on thoughts that are contrary to the Scriptures. Something comes in our mind. You say, well, what should we do then? We ought to bring them into captivity. If we have the spirit of fear, that's not been given by God. He's not given us the spirit of fear, but we quoted it, but of power and of love. A sound mind. Boy, those two words, it just seems like that's few and far between today, isn't it? A sound mind. Hey, listen, I'm talking these things are real. There are people that are sitting in houses today and mentally they're about to go stir crazy because of where their thought life is taking them. I believe we need to get that under control, and I'm trying to show some biblical principles on how God can help us with that. That not only just having a war again, and I use the term war, I want it to be a shock and awe moment. We're not talking about bringing thoughts into captivity that, listen, we're talking about locking them up, throw away the key, slam the door behind them. An outright war, I'm not thinking that. There's no reason to think that. Why do you think the songs this morning were focused on how great thou art? It is well with my soul. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Does Jesus care? Yes, he does. We sing these songs. Do you know what the entire purpose of the song service this morning was? To try to get your mind off everything out there and get it focused right here. That's what we're trying to do. And it was done intentionally, which brings me to my third point today. Intentionally think on righteousness. Intentionally. You say, can we govern what we think about? I believe we can. I believe we can. You know, thoughts will come into our mind, and it's a constant battle. We can either choose to lock them up and throw away the key, bring them into captivity. You say, but it's a good thought. Then we still ought to have control over it. The Bible reminds us, and this is the Apostle Paul writing again in Philippians chapter number 4, and you know this. Verse number 8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, what's these four words? Think on these things. Do you understand that the Bible is telling us exactly what to think upon? So let's go back and look at those, and I could preach for another hour. Don't worry, I'm not going to. On this list that God has given to us here. But let's just look at the first thing. Whatsoever things are true. Whatsoever things are honest. I wonder if that describes your thought life this week. Do you understand how much time we put into our thought life on things that are never true? That's what some people say about worrying. Well, it must work because those things never happen. We are experts. Listen, you have your PhD in worrying and anxiety, of sitting around and wringing hands, of saying, what in the world are we going to do if this happens? Well, first of all, we don't even know if it is going to happen. I sat down in the airport in Atlanta, Georgia. And it was probably, about 6:30. I was sitting there, and I was eating some supper, and a couple came and sat right across from me, and I had on my mask. It said, Jesus is the answer. And I made sure, and this isn't the purpose of it, but I always buy the cheapest ticket, which means I get on the airplane last. Nothing spiritual behind that except I'm a cheapskate, okay? And so I get on the airplane last, and everybody's seated, but I thought, what an opportunity. So I got Jesus is the answer, so I intentionally look at everybody as I walk down through and make sure I turn my face to every side as I'm walking down the aisle and make sure that every one of them's reading my mask and they're getting a message of Jesus. This couple comes and sits across from me. She looks over at me. She said, I like your mask. I said, he's the only answer. And I said, it doesn't matter the question. I said, Jesus is the answer. And we started talking. She said, you know, she said, with everything that's going on in this world, and here's what she said. She said, but I've read the last page. You know what I thought during that moment? I said, there's someone who's choosing what they're going to think about. Now, I could stand here all day long, just like you could, and tell you every bad thing that's taking place in this world, but I don't get paid to be a news anchor. I could. But can I say this? I sure want to help us to be thinking on the right things. And I believe that we ought to be intentionally having a war on thoughts that are against the Scripture, but then intentionally be thinking about righteousness. Hey, a thought pops in your mind. Here's how we practically take control of it. Thought comes in your mind. Is that true? Well, first of all, if it's not true, then why do we entertain? Even if we come back and say, I don't know. Then why do we entertain it and allow it to consume us for the next 5 days? We don't even know if it's true. We don't know if it's honest. We don't know if it's just. We don't know if it's pure. And we're saying, why are we being controlled by these thoughts? Why don't we intentionally think about those things that the Scriptures tell us to think about? Whatsoever things are true. Whatsoever things are honest. Hey, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You know, we ought to be an active participant in what we think about. Now, that's probably one of the most confusing statements you've ever. You say, of course I'm an active participant in what I think about. No, we ought to be controlling our thought life. An active participant that when a thought comes in, we either say yay or nay to that thought. We ought to control it that much. You say, how are we going to do that? Remember Ephesians chapter 4? And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Refocusing our mind. Where have our minds gotten us off track in the past year and a half? Now we're so, and listen, there's been so many things that have been substituted into our life that we've become consumed with some of these things that now we're no longer consumed with some of the things that we did for God. There's people that wouldn't dream about missing a Sunday. But now it's gotten substituted, and now they're thinking about those things instead of the things of God. We've allowed that. We need to refocus our mind. You know what I believe God would say to us? Time to get your mind back into it. You know how it was. Hey, when I was, I still am, by the way, not, well, I shouldn't say when I was, sweet on my sweetheart. Hey, now listen, Crystal and I met each other. I was 14, she was 13. I'll say this, for all them years in high school, my life revolved around her. If she walked into a room, I wasn't thinking another thought. I was making sure she saw me, that she knew I was there. If I'd walk into a room, she's thinking about me. Hey, boy, we can get distracted. You know what some coaches have had to say to their boys while they're playing a ball game? Hey, listen, get your eyes off the girls in the stands. Get your head back in the game. Now, we say it and laugh it off today that in the middle of a conversation, someone goes like this, and we're like, hey, squirrel. And we sit there, and we're like waiting for them to get focused back. Come on back. I'm still over here. And they run off with every rabbit trail that's over. And I believe God's sitting up in heaven looking at us sometimes saying, hey, refocus your mind. Get your mind back where it's supposed to be and determined that we're going to be following the Lord. Get our mind back in the game. Refocus. You say, Pastor, I've been dealing with some things mentally over the past year and a half. Can I say that? And listen, I've told you, I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not prescribing anything except for make sure that you're bringing every thought into captivity. Make sure you're controlling your thought life. And number two, make sure you're intentionally thinking about things that are righteous. Hey, you're prone to worry and anxiety? Then why don't you get up every morning or multiple times a day and pick you out some of the Psalms and sit down and start reading the book of Psalms? You know what that does? The book of Psalms is a wonderful book on praise. All the way through there. Wonderful book on praise. You have a hard time, listen, believing that David went through everything that he went through, and some of them Psalms were actually written while he's running for his life and hiding out in a cave. And some of those Psalms, as he's writing those, his life weighs in the balance. And you know what he chose to think about? How wonderful God is to him. How wonderful. You say, but Pastor, you don't know the bad thing I'm going through. I may not be able to change your situation, but I can read the Psalms with you. And we can start praising Him, not because of the situation we're in, but we can start praising Him because of who He is. And all of a sudden, that just refocused my mind off everything that's around me, and now I'm back focused on Jesus. After all, that's what we're going to be focused on for eternity anyway. Why don't we get a practice now? Boy, God can do such a wonderful work in our hearts and lives. Bring every thought into captivity. Intentionally be thinking about that which is true and that which is honest and that which is pure. Say, hey, I'm going to govern my thought life. Instead of this, God looking down at us and saying, what in the world are you thinking? And how many times we have negative thought. Hey, I'm talking negative thoughts towards God. Negative thoughts towards His plan for us. You say, but Pastor, I'd never do that. I have. You know what God desired at that point? Hey, get that right. The readiness, take revenge on disobedience because I didn't bring that thought into captivity. Then I'm saying, Lord, would you help me dwell upon the right things? Help me meditate and think on that which is true and that which is righteous. So listen, next time that thought comes into your mind, hey, is that true? Is that pure? Is that honest? That might hinder some of the television you watch also, that you're thinking about those things all the time, okay? Because it's not true, it's not pure, it's not holy. That's not something I'm going to try to influence a bunch of other people with, okay? I wonder if we need to refocus our minds. In Christianity, in your service for the Lord, it's time to get back in. It's time to get your mind pointed that direction and saying, hey, this is what God has for us. I'm going to focus on it.